Here we are again. New town, new closet, same Skimbo Lounge.
Bigger closet.
Bigger closet. We're back. It's the Skimbo Lounge. So it occurs to me, and by it occurs to me, I say, I looked at my phone. Our last episode was Labor Day 2018.
2018?
Yeah.
So the Skimbo Lounge took a year hiatus and...
A year plus, yeah.
And we, two people moved.
Yeah. We are officially in New York City now.
Yeah.
For those not in the know.
Well, I mean, I moved a ways and then you guys did some episodes and then I came back for the Labor Day episode.
Right. Well, that's a really interesting thing I talked to you about, I think, before Christmas break or during Christmas break, how in the time period that you, first of all, so after graduating from college, we were either living in the same town, our hometown, or we were both in Boston or we were both in Texas. We had this like long swath of time where like we were hanging out a lot consistently.
Yeah.
And then you went to New York first. You had a good year on me. So
yeah, it was roughly about a year, actually.
For the first time in a while, our paths diverged. For a good long chunk, and my experience of the year 2019 and like part of 18, completely different than yours.
Oh yeah, wildly different, I'm sure.
It's crazy.
Because I came here and basically had panic attacks for the first, you know, 2 to 3 weeks that I lived here, just because of the enormous amount of people and getting around and the stress of like, I've got to find a job, and I've got literally this amount of time and this amount of money, and if I don't make it work, I have to move back home. And so, yeah, it was really fucking stressful. It's crazy.
It is crazy when you first get here and for every other moment that you're here.
Yeah. Well, you just, you got to start getting used to the fact that there's people out there that do not give a fuck about getting in your way and pissing you off in ways that, like, from a small town, you'd be like, what a rude motherfucker. And here it's just like, that's, it's fine.
There's... They didn't even offer me pancakes and syrup for their mistake. How does that guy go home and fuck his wife?
Yep.
Which we are totally going to try to make happen is the new catchphrase of the NYC wing of the Skimbo Lounge. But Rory, notice my terminology here. The New York City branch of the Skimbo Lounge. What?
I do notice that, Alex.
Am I blinding you with science, or is there something going on here?
I think science is blinding, but I don't think there's anything too difficult to grasp about this. I think, you know, for those of you who are familiar with the podcast, I'm sure we've got so many new listeners.
Yeah, hi, Derek, Nikki, Emily, Machado, or any of you guys listening, our three listeners?
Yeah. let's just railroad ourselves. And, you know... But so we've got these other two guys and we've got this SoundCloud and we'd love to hear back from old Mitch and old Mr. Acebo, old Tanner.
Because we left the Barry boys. We left the Barry contingent behind.
Yeah. And since we've been here, they've had all the equipment. So we've had an excuse for why we haven't been podding. Because it took me quite a while to afford the ducats. We went halfsies on this equipment. But boy, it took a while to secure the funds, and we finally, you know, wrestled up here two mics and a mixer, and we got all the recording stuff ready to go finally, and immediately, like, I got these microphones yesterday.
They smell brand new.
They're brand new, brand spanking new here at the Skimbo Lounge, and so the second we had the equipment, we got right back to podding.
We really are big time overachievers.
Yeah, look at us. Look at us go. Pat on
our backs.
We're
doing good in the pod, so we're doing good in life.
Yeah. And I'm just a little bummed out cuz I want to hear from old Mitch. I want to hear those great quotes he used to have.
I want to hear the Mitch response to being called out right now.
Yeah.
Which I think we need to take this episode to get heat on Mitch because you got to rile Mitch up
and then he goes
so
for
that
it.
He responds whole hog.
I got it. Cuz
you know he can't help himself.
I got a list here. I got some things I wrote down when I was listening to the pod. Number one, wasn't funny. Just some
fuck you guys.
Yep.
That's the thing. That's I can't even properly articulate a I can't even hazard a guess because you never know what he's going to do, but it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, no.
But he's going to be like, listen, I went ahead and sent you guys a case of
I don't got the time,
Gatorades and a bag of cement. Now, the reason for this is going to become clear over the next 5 minutes. George Carlin wants it, and it'll just...
Oh, yeah, and just off the rails. Oh, I can't wait to see Tanner try to wrangle him in. Or, I mean, they've got more mics than us, too, though, so they can probably have guests and have, you know... That's going
to
be another
thing. Tanner's going to have to keep Mitch speaking into his mic.
Yeah, that's true. That's... Well, I hopefully we'll hear something.
And those are the little moments I miss.
Yeah.
Where Mitch starts, he starts and he goes, well, listen, Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship.
Man!
Yeah. Sorry. Mm. Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship.
Oh, boy.
That's also a great Simpsons quote. There was Jefferson Airplane, which gave way to Jefferson Starship, which gave way to the Alan Parsons Project, which I think was a hovercraft. That show used to be so good.
Yeah. No, you know what? I kept watching it, though, while it was on FX. Like, you could get it on their app, right?
Oh, but now Disney's got it locked
up,
right?
Disney's got it. So I watched a bunch of it while I was home, visiting my family for, like, the week I was home. And FX, God bless them, they don't have any other content. Like, guess what we're going to do? We're going to run The Simpsons through every, like, we're gonna run the whole fucking thing.
We're going backwards this time.
It was like 24 hours The Simpsons for like four or five days.
Because there's what, 400 and something episodes?
Yes, there's an obscene amount.
This is the where we need a third.
This is where we need
a
SIBO. Yeah, we need an engineer who can sit there and get that, because I'm not looking it up.
And they just chime in and go, actually, it's 480 episodes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthias.
Here you are.
Can I get some of those unshelled peanuts you have sitting in the jar on your desk?
Yeah. No, Matthias. Those are for display.
These are to let people know I'm powerful. I own a podcast.
Don't you see the on-air sign that I have?
It's a piece of paper taped to the door. Seriously, I've been thinking a lot. As soon as you and I, as soon as you said the mics are coming in and we're going to do this again, I did a lot of thinking about all the incarnations this has been through since the beginning.
We sat in a closet. A very warm, or actually surprisingly cold closet in Texas.
Every Saturday, sometimes it was boiling lava hot. Sometimes it was a meat locker.
And see, the thing is whenever it was a meat locker, the sad thing about it was by the end of it, it was the opposite still. Because like, we just get way too fucking hot in that closet.
All your clothes just become saturated.
Well, it's because we would put those blankets up everywhere because we were trying to, you know, keep the noise down. You know, we were
small room with plaster walls and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. We were trying to up the audio quality, which we failed beautifully at.
We tried big, like Jared Leto as the Joker.
Yeah,
and we failed beautifully.
Came up pretty short. If you can find those episodes wherever you can find them, because they're somewhere. Those episodes are somewhere.
I don't know. Are they?
Yeah. I think
I have the files. I can re-release them.
Boy,
we should do a Disney Vault situation.
Does the Skimbo Lounge have a YouTube? Because we need to get Skimbo Lounge. Yeah, so we need to get the episodes. Because I'm pretty sure we stopped putting the episodes up on the YouTube.
I think we might have taken them down when we started doing them with the. So here's the thing.
No one cares about the YouTube. Everyone finds us. That listens to us on SoundCloud, but that's okay.
Honestly, no one gives a fuck about the YouTube. It'd be a good thing to do if we had a video podcast.
But we should try anyways. We should put that up just because
somebody's
got to have that YouTube app where it's like, I don't have to have my YouTube open on my phone. Because that's what they pay. That's what you pay for now. I'm getting off on a tangent.
Oh, YouTube Red or YouTube Plus or
whatever?
Have
you ever tried that? Like, I'll be on my phone. I'm like, I want to listen to a song. And so I'll load it on my phone on YouTube where I find it. Because I don't have Spotify because I'm a dick and I'm cheap. And so...
Why do you hate yourself?
Because I do.
It's the best investment you could make.
Because I'm self-abusive. Because I'm self-abusive to myself.
Listen.
But so I'll look it up on YouTube, right? And the second you close your phone, it doesn't keep playing. It just stops. Like, well, if you had the app, it would keep
every
playing.
Every time it gives you that snarky message, yeah.
I mean, it's like, if you paid for this, it'll keep going. It's only this much a month.
And boy, that
like,
sure was obnoxious, wasn't it?
Fuck you, YouTube. Do something of value first, you bastards. Because I know you're monetizing the ads, so why don't you go ahead and just make this okay, and I'll listen to the ads as well. get the money anyways, YouTube.
YouTube's fucked. They're only about the money at this
YouTube
point.
YouTube already got my money because it made me watch the ad. So why does it give a shit if I close my phone to listen to the song? It already got the money it needed out of me. I listen to the ad, they get a piece of
that.
Yeah,
but it can get $10 a month from you.
Yeah, but what the fuck? Like, what a greedy... Like, I
can get actual money from you, just clicky money.
It's so fucking greedy. It's so, like... Hey. And for a service where you're like, YouTube, I think you're reaching. There's so many better... Like, if I was going to give the money instead, I would give it to Spotify probably because they've got every fucking song ever imaginable. You know? I'm not like... I'm going to look up that video on YouTube and then I'm going to close the thing so I can listen to the audio from it.
Right.
Oh, that sounds great. I bet you something funny's happened.
Wow, Chevy Chase sure sounds hilarious from all those falling sounds I hear.
This is the only place I can find the one or two episodes from when he was a talk show host.
Here's Chevy. And he just comes in on a scooter with a long straw, sucking up a line of cocaine on the floor.
Big Lolly in the other hand.
Leading
somehow, this
right
is
up
funny.
To his mic.
Hello, everybody. Oh, God, Chevy Chase. You know what the thing is, though, now, like, everything I've read about Chevy Chase, I get really, really sad when I think about Chevy Chase. Like, don't you? Have you, like, don't get me wrong. I do and I don't, kind of. It's like...
I don't know how to feel.
Well, it's like, the thing is, like, he's a bitter old man, but then you read about him, and you're like, oh, he was a bitter young man as well. And he had everything in the world, even though, like...
He was in the social registry.
He was born, yeah, he was born with everything in the world.
Which is like the muckety-muck blue pages.
Yeah, of course. He was a... like, he never had to really work for anything, I don't think. You know, he just
wants... He says, man, you know, that... Because it's some convoluted thing where it's like his mom remarried and, like, in and out of the fortune, and they weren't left anything.
In and out of the fortune is all you have to hear about that sentence.
Your name is still Cornelius Crane.
Yeah. You are a socialite. That's the fact, is that at that point, you're a young kid, and you have the connection of your name, period. When you go ahead and say that, people know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Period. Like, that in itself is...
Oh, he's a crane. Dude, it'd be like being home, and, okay, perfect example. I was at a party in high school, and the cops showed up, and I wasn't drinking because I was a bitch, and... No, I was responsible. I was a good kid.
Yeah, sure.
So I keep telling myself I wasn't a narc. Those guys had it coming. But
everybody else was drinking but me.
A bunch of us who hadn't been drinking, like, left at the same time and still got stopped by the cops. And one of them looked at my ID and saw the last name and was like, oh, are you related to so-and-so? And sometimes they let you go on the strength of that. It's a pretty crazy thing.
Well, we've seen that happen with a friend of ours.
Yeah.
When he was caught in a situation. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been situations where he didn't get away with it because they didn't know who he was.
Right.
But there was a situation where they did.
Well, in that situation, I was like, they either hate this relative. I can just fucking say whatever. My uncle was a legislator.
Yeah.
So I was like, they either love what he did or they fucking hate it. And they're going to try to dick us all over right now. And it's that butt crack sweat moment until it gets you off.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Have a good night. I was holding that in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
The point I was making about the podcast earlier, all the incarnations it's been through, we got to appreciate where we've been to feel out, to map out where we're going.
Sure.
Do you understand me?
No.
Are you taking me as seriously right now as I'm taking myself? Because it's pretty serious.
Oh, go on then.
So we were in the closet, and then we did the Skimbo Lounge for like 7 episodes.
Well, the funny thing was we went from doing it in the closet where we got better and better at it, because at first we did it terribly, as I recall. And again, you can't find these episodes, but story there is that we got like maybe 4 or 5 episodes in, and I looked at your computer and I was like, you haven't been using the right microphone. we've had these microphones that we had Yetis, if you know anything about mics, which are these USB microphones,
but we could only use one because they only allow you to put one in at a time.
Exactly. And so we had it on omnidirectional.
Yep.
So it picked up everything.
Sound quality and, spotless.
And so it was fine, and it was going to be, I mean, it was going to be good enough, and it was going to be it was going to be clear so you could hear us. Except we were using the computer microphone. That was the output he chose.
So it was picking up all of my audio really strong, and then you just hear Rory, well, the
fact is
qualifier,
that the banks are,
that's kind of, and I remember for a couple episodes you were like criticizing me, like, you really got to come on, you got to get closer to the microphone, man, though, you can't keep leaning back, you can't do it. I'm like, you're right, I got to keep doing it. And then we got later, I was like, what the fuck.
Hey, you still learned a valuable life skill from it. You can't complain.
Yeah, sure did. I learned, always check the settings.
I'm not a fascist, I just love order.
That's great.
So anyway,
yeah,
we did those first couple episodes as Skimbo Lounge. Then we became the Breakdown Lane as part of our ill-fated association with those guys.
Yeah, we started, we got picked up by like
like a piece of trash.
Yeah, by a website that was trying to basically, you know, swim in the wake of other, like, what,
Barstool.
Like Barstool, yeah. And just, you know, again, I'll say it. That'll be all another catchphrases. Failing beautifully.
We need some chimes.
And they had a bunch
There's
of podcasts.
In this part. Yeah.
And, you know, we tried plugging the other stuff, and I don't know if they ever listened or plugged us, because our numbers were meh. We get like 30 listens.
It was such a small potatoes operation, and we were small potato. It was all just like people who couldn't find their asses in the dark trying to work together, dude.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even the privilege of being World War II where it was lions led by donkeys. It was just donkeys trying to fuck a doorknob.
Well, it was everyone trying to just get some notoriety, which is fine. It's okay to go ahead and try to get.
But you have to have a good idea first.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, that's what you were trying to do. You're trying to have something to say, and you're trying to have a little bit of direction, at least with your own writing on the thing. And I even did a little bit of writing for them.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, well, we've got some notes. And it was like, that's not how this works.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was we've gone over it in earlier incarnations of Barry Skimbo Lounge.
If you go back and listen to the whole thing, go back and listen to the
episode
whole thing.
One, The Inception. Yeah. We talk about it there, but it was the whole, I wrote an article about what an asshole Tommy Lahren is, because she's, you know, white power Barbie.
Yeah.
And I wrote an article about what a shithead she is on International Women's Day, telling women, like, blah, fuck you, you don't deserve to celebrate this day, you should just go to work and be grateful for it, you little cunts. And, like, it was awful. She was being awful, and I wound up writing an article just being like, yeah, fuck you, Tommy Lahren. The whole tone of it was like, there wasn't even anything satirical about it. It was just like deeply and personally mean about Tommy Lahren. And,
well, she's
she brought it on herself.
Yeah, she's not a good person.
She's not. She's a media gadfly. Her thing is like Alex Jones and anyone else.
She's a provocateur.
You're a provocateur. You don't actually know what you're talking about. You're just fanning flames because those people have somehow disposable income to give you when you hawk freedom pedals or whatever the fuck you're, you know, all this like the lead products that Alex Jones fucking pitches on his fucking website.
God. Well, also, like, it's like air purifiers and water purifiers and things like that. Like, this is the best one in the world. You know. And it's all, it's really just like, they figured out that outrage, like, it affects your brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It, like, gives you, I don't know if it gives you a release of dopamine or what it does, but it does something very specifically that is like a good feeling, that moral outrage. And they just have tapped into that for money.
Because it happened to me hard when I saw the shit she was saying on Twitter.
Yeah.
I jumped in and wrote an article and like, and I'm not, and this is not like, and I apologize, it was wrong. I stand by every syllable.
Well, no, but see, here's the difference though, man. Your moral outrage is a different from the moral outrage I'm even talking about. I'm talking about the people who listen to what she's saying and go, yeah, those people.
True.
Because the things she's saying is super vitriolic. That's the point of it. Is
true.
That,
I'm just saying I had a vitriolic outrage reaction, and it felt good.
You had a similar reaction, yeah. You gave her attention in the same way they're looking for, just in a different way.
Yeah, I just,
you're right.
Yeah,
a good point.
Stupidly engaged with her, and it felt good to be like, I'm going to be the one to take her down. So the article very much had the tone of, she's going to see this, and it's going to make her cry, and I'm going to be the one to take her down. It was its biggest crime is that it was saturated in hubris.
Not even that it's saturated in hubris. It's that, you know, they're a person in the political world, and so
she's seen worse.
You're allowed to write commentary about that, you know, from that standpoint. You're right, you know, and boy, they didn't like that over at our old boss's place.
Yeah. So the women on the website decided that it was not okay to attack any woman on National Women's Day, International Women's Day, even if it was Tommy Lahren,
and even if that person, Tommy Lahren, happens to be attacking International Women's Day,
attacking
herself.
The institution that you are saying you're trying to prop up. But whatever, you have your convictions. You know, I can't tell you you're right or wrong, right? You got your principles. All of which is to say, so do I. So when they were like, oh, yeah, we took the article down and now everything is subject. When you're going to try to grow a brand, you need to be able to take chances and do interesting, creative, dangerous stuff. And I'm not like, I'm the bad boy of blogging.
No,
but we needed
that.
The space to try to grow and turn into something unique. And you can't do that if there's shit you can't do.
Well, if there's a certain point where they sit there and they say that, you can't say those things on our site that we've got literally hundreds of people listening.
The stakes are so fucking low at this point.
Yeah, it's like, okay, great. But you're not paying any of us yet, right?
No.
So why don't you just let us say what we want? Why don't you let those people write an article in response? Oh, well, they're just saying that they're just going to go, I can't even, and walk away. Like, well, why don't you go ahead and tell them to put their feelings into words, and maybe that will express why what he did is wrong, and maybe he'll change his opinion other than censoring him, which is only going to embolden his feelings.
Start a conversation. Right? Like, I just wish any of them had started a conversation. And
would have been a little bit better.
And yeah, and been like, okay, counterpoint, fuck you for doing this on this day, dude.
Well, when somebody who writes sits there and says, I'm not going to talk to you about this, it seems like, well, what do you even do then? What do you, come on, this is part of your fucking job. We're caught, like.
It was dumb on a human level. It was dumb on a business level. It was dumb on every level.
Yeah.
It was a dumb decision. I like that guy. I'm not going to fucking call him out. He's a nice dude. I like him. I think it was a bullshit pussy decision. And in the grand scheme of things,
really,
is it
the
last bastion of fucking free speech? No.
No, of course not. But some people came to him with an issue and he, like, bus you. And he just threw you in front of him. He was like,
much.
This guy might have started a fire here, so I'm just going to put him right out.
Could be the next Billy Joel, but he started the fire, so maybe not. Retrograde Mercury, get my car washed for free. We didn't start some
deep
fires.
Cut. It's a deep cut right there. Not even at all, actually.
Not
even at all.
No, in fact, it ended the conversation, so.
Yeah.
Great, good for me.
Yeah, there you go. But so that's what we did that for a while, and then we bailed on them and we came home. And then we started recording in a legitimate studio.
That's right.
We started recording in a legitimate studio in Barrie. In a sound studio. It sounded great. It was fantastic.
This is after we came home.
Yep. We went back to Vermont, and we started recording in a legitimate studio for a little while, and then our friends stopped wanting to come to the place where the studio was, so we started recording in their house. Tanner.
To be fair, I co-signed that because I was like, we'll be more comfortable if we're just chilling in someone's house where we don't have to haul all this shit around. So I led the mass exodus to Northfield.
You enabler. But then, so we just started doing it down there, and then eventually I moved away, and then, everything, we did a bunch of episodes there, and we did a couple in other places. We did a couple at Mitch's house, didn't we?
And
we did,
yeah.
Did we do one at my house? Might have done one at my house.
We did selections from one. We recorded the infamous Alvin and the Chipmunks Squeak End at Bernie's skit at your computer there.
Yeah, we did that whole podcast at my place, though, didn't we?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think we did that whole one there. So we hopped around, and then we stopped doing it, and now we're here. And now we're back. There it is. That's the whole thing.
Wow. Dreams really do come true.
That's incredible.
58 episodes. Or 57. 57 or 58.
Tanner?
Lobster roll. We got to agitate these motherfuckers. We got to get them hungry.
I hope they make one. I hope they take the time.
I think
know
they're
super
big
busy.
Sluts. I think they're big sluts.
Well, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that if they were the good kind of sluts.
Yeah.
What are the good kind of sluts?
Mitch washes himself in a utility sink.
Do we... Do we still have a Twitter?
We do. I found my way back into it. It's active again.
Okay. If any of this offends you, yell at us at this Kimbo Lounge. Twitter. Apparently.
At Skimbo Lounge.
Yeah, I'll never read it. So fuck yourself.
I will 3 months from now.
Yeah. Wow. I haven't done any social media since I moved to New York. That's a fun thing.
Honestly, it's probably for the best because the one I'm still on is Instagram.
I quit Facebook.
And that's a tough
Instagram,
look.
Twitter. I guess technically Reddit is a social media platform, but I don't really...
It's an anti-social platform.
It's sort of got an anonymity, though. So, you know, it's just a couple of steps away from 4chan, but we don't really like to say it, I guess. I don't know. I think there's a lot more... I think there's a lot more shit on Reddit, and it's a lot less people, you know, using slurs.
Yeah. And it's like the breadth of interest. If you're like, I love Letterkenny season 2, there's a subreddit for Letterkenny season 2. And if you post anything from season 3, you're fucking banned.
Yeah, they will kick you out.
The mods are coming for all y'all asses.
Oh, man, there's some vitriolic people. I got banned from sports, actually, on that site because...
Our sports?
Yeah, I got banned from it. Because one of the moderators saw me talking about there was some guy and he was like throwing towels into the kids or like the towel boys, like whipped one into his face. Like, no, it's fine. Look, they're friends and stuff. Somebody's like, it doesn't really matter that they're friends. The point was, is people were pissed off about his reaction. People was like, you guys are dumb motherfuckers and blah, blah. I was like, if the athlete had just come out and been like, no, we're friends. Look, here's a picture of us together. Like, we just mess with them because it's fun. You know, that's what we do. Then everyone would be like, oh, okay. Oh, that makes a lot more sense. You guys are just like whatever. Like that's kind of fun, you know? Because there was like a backlash towards this guy, and I was like, but then his response was like really flippant and pissy, like he was a dickhead in it. And so like that's what I was like, you know, if he had said this, it'd been better. And they were like, "Fuck you, you're banned."
Wow.
I was like, I thought that was a pretty reasonable response. I don't even really.
It's not like you were trying to sell fucking boner pills on the subreddit.
And like they give you a chance to respond to your banning in a message to the moderators, right? You're just like, well, okay. Like,
what kind of kangaroo court shit is
and
that?
And they're just like, nope, fuck you, you're banned. Well, because like, dude, there's like Donald Trump subreddits out there.
Well, you're banned from the Donald, right?
Oh, of course I am. We're like, right, like the first thing that showed up, it used to be. So Reddit has gone through some real stages over because Reddit has a CEO. It makes a lot of money because a lot of people go to Reddit. It's the, you know, the quote front page of the internet. You know? And so there's this thing on it like that's like the top or best things on Reddit for the day, you know, things that are quote unquote hot. Because the thing about Reddit is it's all community driven that. At least that's what they tell you. Honestly, there's a lot of bots and things you can do to manipulate what are called upvotes, which when you click on a thing you like it, it sends it closer to the front page. And usually it's things that are like, oh, there's a cute puppy or this beautiful picture or like this huge thing that happened in world politics or the world news and like things like that.
If somebody built a robot that killed a pigeon.
There's things you can subscribe to so you get more of that stuff, you know. And right when Donald Trump started hitting that, you know, the political aspects, this thing came out called The Donald. And The Donald was just all of his fucking supporters going there and posting, honestly, real, like, propaganda and crazy fucking shit. And those guys are the most offensive, harassing motherfuckers on Reddit. And they just, like, they just harass the shit out of everybody. And if you go there, they're the kind of people, like, you know, they rally against safe spaces and they harass people in that regard. Like, oh, you're just a fucking liberal cuck. Go back to your safe space. And then they ban any dissenting opinion in the most ironic fucking way. Mm-hmm. And you sit there going, don't you guys see like what you guys are doing here where you're cutting yourselves off and becoming the very thing you guys are rallying against? And they go, fuck you, cuck. And they ban you. And that's basically what happened to me.
They do get it. They're doing it because it's a powerful tactic.
They do
I
it,
think
yeah.
some of them are stupid and manipulated.
I think they do it because they think it pisses you off. They're like, oh, yeah. You guys do it, so
I
look at us.
I triggered a lib.
Yeah. And that's like, you're like, well, you don't really know me super well. But okay, hey, yeah. I guess
that's
why don't
you go glaze some pottery?
Yeah.
Do something constructive with your time.
Yeah.
I paint racist pottery.
Yeah, but see, the thing is like, you can still sit there and look at all that shit, you know? And, I mean, there's a lot of hate groups on subreddit.
Yeah, no shit.
There are subreddits now that are, it's getting to be a problem, and I'm surprised that they're not doing anything about it. And the reason they don't ban the Donald is it become one of the number one Donald Trump support places on the internet.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing about it.
Be a huge censorship thing, yeah.
Is that, yeah, it would be a huge censorship issue, but not even that. When you're Reddit, you're making money off these people. You're making a lot of money. Because not only are they in the Donald, they're seeing all of the ads.
Yeah.
They're seeing all the stuff that you subtly push that are being pushed by people who are spending money to push these certain things. And, you know, that when you have 600,000 people who are Donald Trump supporters who are only here to be Donald Trump supporters who absorb that other shit and make you money, you're keeping them around.
Yeah.
You know?
You can sell them a lot of Proud Boy Pringles.
Yeah. Well, they can buy fucking Reddit gold, which they use to circle jerk with one another as they you know, I really like this comment, so look, I'm going to give it this special flair that shows that it's a really good fucking comment. Seriously, that's how this shit works.
Yeah.
And that side of Reddit is real fucked. I mean, there's some really cute puppies, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But every now and then you see one in a mega head.
Yeah, actually, probably, yeah. Yep.
We should start a subreddit, MAGA Pups.
Yeah, just look at this one. They would know. They would take it so seriously. People would be like, I fucking hate this. You take that hat off that fucking dog right now. I'd be like, listen, I hate him too. And all the Republicans, hey, brother, you just keep this going.
That's great. Great Pekingese you got there. Hey, I just got really paranoid. This thing's recording, right?
Yeah.
You're positive?
Yeah.
Will you look for me?
Yeah.
You're positive that this is recording?
Yeah.
Our work. Okay.
Yeah, right here. Yeah. I think so.
See, I'm used to the...
I'm pretty sure. I hear us.
I hear myself.
Can you hear me?
I'm used to the Apple Mac.
Yeah, so you're used to seeing the line
constantly.
Do you want to take a quick break and then come back to make sure?
How long we been gabbing?
100 minutes.
No, that can't be right.
At 130 beats per minute. I don't know. It records in a weird way. I don't know how long this is. We've recorded for a while though.
We've been talking.
I should have set it. I should have set this. There's this sit right thing right here, and I should have set it to 60, so it was one per second. Mm-hmm. Said I have it 130 beats per minute. So it's like we're recording a rave song. And if I turn it down now, shit's gonna
hurt myself today.
Next time, if we want to record this way, we'll switch that.
I mean, yeah, let's take a break and then we can jump into some lighter topics now that we've put a little button on the journey thus far.
Yeah.
From Texas to Barrie to New York City.
Yeah, nice long hiatus and now we're back.
We got a long hiatus.
Long hiatus. We're going to try and put out, an episode a week here if we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can hear us talking about some dumb shit here on the Skibble Lounge.
And you might get double your value if these pig fucks in Barrie get their shit together and record a podcast.
Oh boy.
Not too busy trying to figure out how to breed with that attractive looking piece of driftwood in the backyard.
I know what they're gonna
say. Bunch of hicks.
Yeah, we're gonna try and do one a month. Fuck you. One a week. The gauntlet is on, motherfuckers. Here on the Skimbo Lounge.
I'm a scat man. I'm a scat man.
We are back.
We are back.
Turns out we were recording. That's very nice.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. I'd hate to think that we wasted anyone's time. Specifically mine.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Wouldn't want to do that. Said we'd keep it lighter, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, we were like, hey, you know what? We'll come into this back half and we'll get loose with it.
I opened up a beer.
Yeah, Rory started hitting the bottle heavily because he seeks the solution to his life's problems at the bottom of a bottle and under the beds of whores. But
under their beds? I'm just sitting under there like, they're up there with a John, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's happening.
Why? Where have you been looking?
So like, I only got $5. What will they get me do? Like, you can get under the bed. Okay, I'll take it.
Cool.
It's very depressing. Under the beds of whores. That's a really mean thing to say to somebody.
I'm sorry.
No, you've created an insult.
No.
That's what you've done.
Yeah.
Where have you been? Under the beds of whores?
Like as though you've spent your life under the beds of whores.
What does that mean? It's all you can afford.
Here's a hot halfpenny. And you spit on them and throw a coin at their face.
Like, wow, this is a real halfpenny. This is worth something. And they walk off. You're like, damn.
So stupid.
I'm ruined. I keep losing that halfpenny. I've got to go buy another.
Fuck. That's pretty much how, like...
The fortune my family left me. squandered it on A-pennies that I've thrown at people that I don't like.
All I need is a killer idea to get back on top. Wait a minute. I've got it. Panties.
What?
Let me finish. That you can only wear once. It's exclusive. It's genius. I'm back on top, baby. I'm going to be rolling in hay pennies.
They're like tissues that come out of the-
Also, the color will definitely transfer to your skin.
Also, they're for men. The men's
Men are reclaiming panties.
So we're going to... You've got nothing. We're taking panties, too.
It's a panties movement. You can't take that away.
This is the worst fucking idea. Oh, I gotta, I'll be right back.
Now, there's a whole sub-fetish, and thus a subreddit, tying it all back together, of dudes sneezing into panties.
Probably.
Sneezing into panties would be a great hipster band name.
Sneezing it. No one's going to that show. You're going to see Sneezing in Your Panties?
16 specific guys are going to go to that.
No, I am not.
And one girl, and they're all going home together.
Hey, this is, what are they? What do they play? Ska? Is that a ska band?
I was thinking crust punk.
What the fuck is crust punk?
You're just a disgusting person who plays punk. I guess your music sounds like all your skin is cracking open because you're just covered in scabs. That's how I imagine it.
It's a very depressing genre.
I don't have an actual answer, so that makes the most sense to me.
It's like off of the album Leprosy.
Pick it off.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's terrible.
That's bad.
I forgot how we got down this road. What are you talking about panties for?
I don't know.
It's a business model.
We were supposed to be talking about New York City.
And then you started talking about panties.
Well, panties because of the naked subway ride or the pantsless subway ride.
Oh, God. That's how you're tying it in?
Well, I just found a good segue here.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, you finally... Well, I'm glad you got around to it.
I got my shit in. Don't worry.
Yeah, great. So today was... What was it? Today was in New York City.
Well, and I think it's not even a New York thing, but in New York, they do it.
In subways?
The pantsless subway ride. You literally just
today.
Ride the subway without your pants on.
Oh, boy.
And the weather was really nice today, so I bet people did it.
Listen, here's the thing. I don't really need there to be a special day for that, because at some point, I'm seeing it anyways in New York.
Yeah.
I think I already have. Like, on days when you're like, okay, that woman's walking by in a trench coat in her underwear, and it is time to move. Because if I ever smelled like some of the people in New York smell, I would walk. Like, look, Manhattan has a river on the left side of it and a river on the right side of it. Oh, I would walk until I got in one of those. And they're not great. They are pretty polluted. But they smell better than a lot of the people that I'm talking about that I have smelled on the subway. Like, what's the worst thing you have seen on the New York subway so far? Like, I've seen a bunch of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And every single day, it's hard to tell because every single day you see somebody trying to hit everybody up for money. Every single day I ride the trains.
Yep.
Somebody comes through and tries to panhandle every single day.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So that's not even weird anymore.
I witnessed a guy using the outbrain version of that, which is instead of making a pitch to anyone for money, he went around the car sitting next to people having a conversation with himself. About, sorry, the bass just kicked
in
at your.
Oh, sounds like my
downstairs
neighbor's having a party. Wow, that is aggressive.
Well, they'll appreciate this. So the guy just like would sit next to people and like converse with himself about his issue.
Yeah.
And he was like, I got to go see my 16-year-old daughter. And I can't go empty-handed. I can't go bring her a Gatorade. Got to bring her a buttered roll. And I'm like, those are two very specific things. But all right.
A Gatorade or a buttered roll.
And I didn't notice, like, I heard him talking to himself. I had no idea what was going on when he sat down.
Yep.
And then he got up and I like watched him do it to other people. And I was like, that's like such an interesting strategy. Or he's genuinely like really fucked up. And he is just talking to himself and he's not looking for money. But he had a cup full of coins. Mm-hmm. So where do you land? And, like, your reaction is to feel bad. Your instant reaction is to feel bad. Like, you're put out when you feel on the spot and you feel guilty.
Yeah, but then you realize everybody's got a story. Every single person here's got a story. And they're all very sad. And you never know who's, like, you know.
It's impossible to know whose story is what. Yeah. It doesn't mean really you don't feel bad. Like, your default reaction is to feel bad.
Well, it's something I learned back in Boston, you know, because I sat with a guy for hours, and I learned about all the people that were around me who lived and were supposedly homeless, and none of them were. None of them were homeless. None of them were. They all lived in an apartment complex together, and they made a lot of money in the summer because everybody, like, they just were on a very popular street, you know, and you know, people gave them, it was just change, but that shit adds up, especially in the summers when all the tourists come through, especially like if it's in Boston and New York City.
Yeah.
You rack up a bunch of money, some of these people. Some of these people are fucking brilliant. And, oh, no, I was wrong. That's some fucking heavy bass downstairs. Woo. I hope you guys can't hear that.
Yeah, maybe we just sound insane.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it shook my chair.
Yeah, I felt that one right in the old bean hole.
Right in the old bean hole. Yeah, I might be cool. Anyways, I completely got derailed by that. That was...
Yeah, it happens and it just takes you right out of it.
Yeah.
That's New York City for you.
Anyways, yeah, that's another thing that's fun. I've got a downstairs neighbor who really likes the sub. Really likes the subwoofer, which is fine. You know, I get it. It's fine. It just wakes me up with it sometimes.
Yeah. I have theater kids living below me. If I ever ran into them and could identify who they are, I'd like to hang out with them. Do a little singing and stuff. But it's just, so it's not annoying so much as it is extremely noticeable. Like, I hear them through the floor, and it'll be like, all I ever wanted was to be a lady's maid.
No kidding.
And I'm like, okay.
All right. Well, hey, I mean, you know.
And I want to know what that's about. I want to know about that life.
Oh, they think he's like working in theater, maybe.
Who knows? Well, it's two guys and two girls.
Just doing auditions and... Yeah, you never know.
I think they're just doing theater, like we were in theater school.
Oh, that's fair. So maybe like they go to NYU or, yeah.
Or they're done, they're out of college and they're living here giving it a go. Because mm-hmm. that's what it seems like. They've got a keyboard down there and they rehearse. So last night, I sent okay. them the signal back. I got my keyboard out and I fucked around with a song.
You have a keyboard here?
I do.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Huh.
I'll tell you. Picks quite a wallop.
What is it? Was it 88 key?
I don't know. No, it's a fucking keyboard, regular keyboard.
Oh, that's cool.
I was just filling dead air because you lean forward to fiddle with a knob.
Oh, yeah. Well, I noticed I was just a little, I'm a little quiet.
Because you love to fiddle with dudes' knobs.
I like to fiddle. It's our knobs. These are our knobs.
We have no knobs.
I'm looking right at them. I'm looking right at our knobs. Are you going to deny this? Yeah. Are you going to deny me that we have knobs together?
Hey, you know what would be fun?
What?
If we slapped Mitchell with a paternity suit. Let's just, like, invent a whole... Because let's be honest, he'd better listen to this whole thing the whole way through. But if he doesn't, it works to our benefit.
Because he won't know that we're trying to slap him with a paternity suit.
We're going
to
slap him with an egregious paternity suit.
This is going to make his list, you realize?
Listen.
There you go.
Paternity suit, not
it's on. Yeah, they're going to slap you with the frivolous, you know...
There are several statutes placed that I don't have to do the cheek swab.
You're wasting my time.
First you off. Want some DNA? Here you go. And just mails us a bag of diarrhea.
I'm not giving him my address now, I guess.
I hope he doesn't know mine.
I'll give him yours.
Consider that carefully.
You know, I'll give him yours.
Go, Mitch, I know I was the one talking about the diarrhea bag, but you know who masterminded all of that?
Oh,
it was Rory.
It was the guy who said it off the cuff.
It's the guy who always talks about how much smarter than the rest of us he is.
Wait, what? Are you kidding?
Had to get you.
You're a monster.
I am. That's good pod.
That's good pod.
That's good pod.
Well, hopefully they'll respond.
I hope so.
Anyways, living in New York, you know. How do you like, because you live in Brooklyn and I live in Queens,
mm-hmm.
and so it takes a while for you to get here on the weekends, you know?
That is correct,
people
Rory.
Here's something weird, because like most of our viewers, as far as I know, and maybe it'll expand now that we're in New York, all of our friends that we've made, you know, it's weird getting around in a city if you've never lived in one. And you, when you visit, you might get a small appreciation for it. You might be like, maybe I'm just bad at it. No, you're not. It takes like 30 minutes to go half a mile.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how far it is from your place to mine. It might be like 2-3 miles, but that's about an hour in travel. It's about an hour in travel time.
And if you're in a rural area where miles are minutes, you know, it's the worst fucking thing in the world.
Well, fuck, you're going to go 2 miles back in Barrie.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
You're going to cover some ground in no time. Yeah. Here, you got to go 2 miles. I hope you planned your whole day for that.
Oh, yeah, you got to plan around it.
Dude, I tried to walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. I was like, wow, I've lived here all this time, and I haven't seen the Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know why I think this is relevant or a rite of passage where I'm going to walk
maybe
the
it'll
Brooklyn
be fun.
Bridge.
Yeah, maybe it'll be fun.
It was so choked with people, I didn't even attempt it. I was like, why? So I can shuffle really slowly?
Well, the reason everyone is out today is because it's...
Well, this wasn't today.
Oh, okay. It was
a couple days ago.
I was going to say, because today is absurdly warm.
Yeah. But, oh, don't I know.
Oh, that's weird. Everybody was, what, were they all walking into the city?
I have no fucking clue. It was just choked with people.
I was just wondering where everybody's going. And I'm like, oh, wait, they've got money. That's what they're doing. They're spending their money on things. Because I guarantee you, everybody who's traveling is spending at least $12, if not more. And you're like, $12? Where'd you get $12 from? If that seems like an absurd statement to you, you, friend, have money.
Honestly, it's crazy. Anytime you step out of the house here, and even when you don't, you end up spending money.
Yep. Everything costs something.
Awful.
I mean, I like to think of it that, like, you know, when I get on the trains, like, I have to, whatever, it's like $127 for a month of of passes. So every time I swipe, I'm like, nah, wasn't really free.
Am I really using $127 worth of credits here?
Thing is, I am.
Well, good.
Because I go twice a day. So I figure if it's, what is it, like $250 to swipe or something? Like if you just buy them outright. So $250 times 2 times 30. Someone do the math out there. Am I spending too much?
Is Rory getting a raw deal?
Everyone's like, oh, you're saving like $30. Whoop-de-doo. It's like basically what it is.
Why don't you take that money and go purchase yourself the first installment in a handgun ownership?
Then you can really solve the problem.
Remember, bullets is extra.
Depressing shit here on the Skimbo Lounge.
That's where we're at right now.
I guess. Jesus.
It's such
dark.
A cold, unfeeling place. I hate to shatter everyone's New York dreams, because whether you don't live there and don't have any interest in living there, but it still has some kind of mythic status to you, or you do have a desire to live in New York, like we had before it was beaten out of us.
Well, I think the thing is that, yeah, it's you really have to keep in mind that it's the place where the best and the worst things are happening.
Yeah.
It is the nexus. I mean, like, when I think about living in New York, I see it as being one of the hubs of the world. You know what I mean? Like, where else do you think of, like, you think of New York, New York City? I'm like, I'm not from here. I'm like, oh, New York City. Wow, it's so cool. But it's like there's a lot of amazing and terrible shit happening all the fucking time. So it's kind of like an interesting sensory overload, except when you happen to have no money. So you kind of romanticize it on the other end when you don't live here, because you're sitting there thinking like, oh, what cool shit's going to happen? What are you going to see? And it's like, oh, you saw Kyle Mooney from SNL walking down the street. Oh, that's great.
He threw a smoothie at you and called you trash.
Yeah, but it's like you don't really see anything great because you're on the low end. So like I see like my CEO come through and I'm like, oh, well, that guy's the richest dude like that I'll ever have a human interaction with probably, because he makes like $30 million a year. And that's it. And you get over that shit real quick. Like, oh, I work in a cool building. And you see kids come through on tours where I work. You know what I mean? Not in the building. Because fuck that. We're not letting them in. They're a security risk.
They might be stuffed with heroin and dynamite.
Well, they let everybody into my building because there's a fucking train stop in the bottom of it. But, you know, it's you see, oh, God, yeah, I see tourists all the fucking time. And I'm going to tell you, the weird thing about tourists in New York City, and actually you saw them in Vermont, those damn leaf peepers, but why is it that people take photos right after they get, like, at the end of a crosswalk? They stop and they're like, look, a building, honey. And
coming
they look right
the
up.
The fucking works like crazy, and especially around 42nd Street.
Well, dude, everybody has a smartphone now, and everybody thinks they're a photographer, and everybody likes to point their cameras up and take pictures of the buildings around where I work, because I'm like two buildings from Wall Street. And so, like, you walk by that bull statue, man, and there's always people out there taking pictures and shit. I'm just like, you know what? I get it. It's kind of cool. And it's also the most obnoxious shit in the world, though, when you get in the way of everybody. Like, even the tourists, everybody get like they get in each other's way. It's really weird, man. It's really weird to see. It's like nobody gives a shit about each other, I think is really the weird thing you got to get used to if you ever come
Nobody gives a shit. So if you don't live here, if you're one of these tourists, then your reality is all of this is very overwhelming, but I'm not that scared or put off. It's just very different because I don't have to live this every day. But if you live here
every day,
it's not quite as fucking magical. Alicia Keys doing New York, concrete jungle, and you slow motion dribbling a basketball, and you just you shoot the rock, and this helpful neighborhood child puts it up for the fucking three, and you grab a Sprite on your skateboard, and you roll away, and Billy Joel's there fucking the Eiffel Tower, or the Statue of Liberty over a fucking pool
table. I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like that.
No. It's mostly just like,
it's sad.
Hey, man, get the fuck out of my way.
Seriously.
And then you walk, like, it's you.
A lot of garbage, a lot of dog shit.
Well, I think the thing that's obnoxious is, like, I, again, working in an area with a lot of tourism, like, I walk by a tourist shop when I go to get lunch every day. Like, there's one right there with, like, you know, tons of, like, the sweatshirts and the coffee mugs and the little Statue of Liberties.
Little tchotchkes.
Yeah. And so I walk by a ton of these people. And so I get on the train there at the end of the day, and you see a lot of those people with, like, the bags full of shit. Because there's a mall complex there that was, like, $1 billion architecture thing. I can't remember what it's called, like, the Oculus. Look it up.
Yeah.
It sounds
familiar.
Yeah, I get off the train that stops at Cortlandt Street, everybody. Look it up, Cortlandt Street. Get out your Google Maps. And
You can do it. It's not hard.
That's where I get off. And so you can walk into this one building that I started getting out now that is actually closer than the Oculus. But for a while, I got off and walked out there, which is like maybe 100 feet difference. So not that much. But it's like ridiculous how nice this thing is. And So I walk out of that, but so when I get off at the end of the day, I'm like, I've been working for 8.5 hours every day, and I'll get to the train station, you see these people with all the shit, and they're like, well, just push on, like, you've also been shopping all day. Like, no, I need to get a seat. My day's been long because I've been out walking around shopping all day, haven't you? And I'm like, fuck you, lady, get the fuck out of my way.
You know how exhausting it was to buy and don this Pluto hat?
Well, dude, it's actually really crazy, though. Like, I'm really happy because sometimes I'll get down to the train station and a different train will come through. And it's all the same to them because they're staying in Manhattan. And I have to take this one specific train to get back to Queens where I live. And so sometimes the W will pull through and it just is bringing them up and they'll all shuffle the fuck onto that one. It'll go and I'll be like, oh, good. There's like three people here actually trying to go to Queens and my train will come in and I'll get on and I'll get a seat. And I'll be like, oh, thank fucking God.
Anytime you get a seat, you hold on for dear fucking precious life.
Well, that's the thing that I feel bad for certain people who like grind it out in the middle of Manhattan, man, because they get at every single day. Like, I used to take the 6 train, and I used to take it from one spot where a ton of people got on to another spot where a ton of people got on and off, obviously. But you would never, ever get a seat. I'd stand every single day. It was like an extra half hour to, you know, 40 minutes of standing on a train with a bunch of people who are not happy to be there on this train. Because it's heading right up straight through and into the Bronx. And a lot of those people get on tired after doing some shit. Some of them come down. I think that train goes all the way down into Brooklyn. So some of them have been on that train for like an hour already. And people get on and they are not dealing with anybody's shit.
Yeah, that's the G train.
Yeah, man.
It's also the G train.
If you're
but that's
of
a lot of
trains.
Inside baseball for our listeners.
Oh, God, I know. But it's like, it's honestly, if that grinded any of you guys down, that's the point.
You poor fucking country plebes.
Welcome to it, bumpkins.
Toughen up, Seabiscuit.
When we talk about the difference of our year, that's what I've been dealing with for the past year. That's the point. Is like, you know, that was my year, was commuting to work in this one place and getting home on the train every single day. Boom, train in, train out, deal with these people, train in, train out. And then I moved because I used to live in Harlem, and then I moved from Harlem to Queens. And then the commute was different. It was different people. And it's always just a fucking grind.
Yeah,
New York is a fucking grind.
It is. And I don't mean this to be glib because it was definitely said in a cartoon. And I think it was American Dad. You either have to have a lot of money to live in New York City or no money. And I'm just in between. And it's very true. And I don't mean it as like, well, you have to be poor to live in New York City. That's a ridiculous statement. But there is such a huge disparity between what the like lower economic class New York experience is, what the higher economic class New York experience is,
oh, yeah.
and everything in the middle. Because the middle is just nothing.
Well, it's like,
nothing cool. It's nothing bad. It's just the medium place.
Well, I think the most interesting thing you can do, the most interesting thing I've done so far in New York was you start real low in Manhattan and you walk all the way the fuck up. And I lived on 116th Street, so I walked all the way the fuck up Lexington Avenue one day. Hmm. I walked the entirety of Lexington Avenue. And at a certain point, you're just like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yep.
I timed it wrong and I got up there after dark. And that's something you don't want to do. I mean, at a certain point, like, I was fine getting home, actually, because it was, like, right as it was starting to get dark. So, like, there's a difference between going home and being like, oh, the sun just went down. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, suddenly, all of a sudden, it's like, knives out, everybody. But it was like, you know, I'd come home a couple of times, like, at midnight or later. And being as chalky white as I am, let's just say it was a mistake. But it's a, like, during the daytime, I'll say, I'm not like, you get yourself in danger, America. But, like, if you ever have the chance, like, at, like, 1 o'clock, walk from the bottom of Manhattan to the top. Like, make it like, a two-hour trip of yourself, because that's how long it's going to take. But it'll be very, very interesting. If you got nothing else to do, you know what I mean? I'm like, you know, do this instead of going to get the M&M shop and get your names on the M&Ms, because that's what you really want to do, Dick. Go ahead and do it, whatever, you know? Like, do the touristy shit if that's what you want to do. But if you want to see a really interesting part of New York, pick a fucking street and walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see some shit, I promise you.
It's an interesting place because of that. But then I realized, like, the New York that I grew up on was all from film and television.
Yeah. That's a bunch of bullshit.
You get this idea in your head, like, life's going to be like the King of Queens. Some fucking bullshit like that.
Everyone's going to be peppy and zingy, and then I get to work and everyone's boring but me.
Crazy characters. And
people talk to me all the time, like, hey, man, you know, when we come in and they do this, like, you know, that guy, he carries some weight, and they might fire you if he gets pissed off you. And I go, I don't care. I'm like, I don't think they're going to fire me. I don't make anything. Like, I'm not pushing waves around, and at the end of the day, it got done, didn't it? Like, so, yeah, he can be upset at me. Let's do it.
It's just, it
sucks the life out of a ton of people.
Yeah. That's the thing, is friend of the pod, friend of the life, Campos, said, he heard a quote, that you stay in New York until it makes you hard. You stay in L.A. until it makes you soft. And I think that's largely a bunch of bullshit.
Probably.
However.
I feel like cynics are cynics. And,
yeah.
You know, but.
Point being. New York is the place where...
The vibe is definitely different, you know what I mean? But
the vibe is aggressive, and people are just going to come as they are, and they're going to come at your fucking face. But I might take that over Los Angeles, where everyone's going to be really nice to your face and then stab you in the fucking ass.
Yeah, probably. I like the idea that if, you know, I feel like in New York, the one thing that I can be okay with is being upfront with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like that's actually a really good thing about New York, is I can just be like, hey, man, I don't give a fuck. Stay the fuck away from me. And people will respect that in a lot of cases, unless they're crazy, in which case, watch the fuck out. Like, on the other day, on my way to work, there was this guy, and he was yelling about how he didn't like Asian people.
Because, oh, boy.
He was yelling at the people across from him. He was probably not all there. And he was yelling at the people across from him because they didn't give him money or something. I can't remember what was going on. But he was basically trying to talk about that dynamic, being like, well, I need help, and nobody helps me. And it's like, that makes you bad people. Kind of, you know, that spin. And I say that spin because this is not the first time I've heard this before, you know. And it's not the first time you've heard it. We've actually been on the train when somebody's done that before. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing that whole spin. And this woman says something to him, and then she gets off the train. And it was this young Asian girl. And he got real mad. He was like, oh, look at that. And then he went on this whole tirade about Asian people and how they're coming over here as vampires. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Now, did you say there was a question as to whether or not this man was not all there? Because I think it's just been answered.
Yeah. And then so he goes from there, and he's like trying to prove the point, like that no one's going to help him. So he comes up to me and taps me on the shoulder. I look over, I go, huh? And he goes, can you give me a dollar? I go, no, man. And he goes, oh, yeah, you see? And he goes and he sits down. And at this point, I'm like, see, here's the thing. You really want to talk to these guys and go, no, man, the reason I didn't give you money is because you're being an asshole to everybody and you're trying to prove that people are racist and that's why they don't give you money when you just went on a 15-minute binge about why you don't like Asian people because this one girl stood up to you right on the moment she got off the train because she felt safe in doing that. Because if she tried to engage you in this metal death tube while it was closed in the middle of two stops, Lord knows what you might do. So she went ahead and said what she wanted to say as she was leaving, and then you went off, even though she was gone, to a bunch of people and projected your insecurity all over everybody. But you can't say that to them because they might fucking stab you for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very likely.
Yeah. And so it's a weird situation to be in, man.
Well, and you hate to see that because that's the kind of experience that when the tourists have it are like, oh, everyone in New York City, all these homeless, they're animals. And they
not
get
even
that
though,
attitude
too.
About their lack of safety.
There's that, or they take the spin of like, oh, living in New York is so hard and the people are so hard, they're so uncaring. Like, look how desperate this man has become.
Well, and that's the thing is it depends on the approach of the person on the train.
Yeah.
Because if you get that guy that you're talking about, then tourists are like, all these people are monsters. But if you
and
get the guy that comes in and he's like, hey, I'm just trying to feed my kid and I just want to do this and that or the other thing. God bless you. God bless you. And does the yeah. loquacious type
oh,
thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Plays to their humanity.
I've seen them. They're usually the ones that give money.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, your instinct is always, like I said, to want to help. But this is incumbent upon the state yeah. at this point, too, to chip in because there's only so much like each individual can do.
Yeah.
Without the means and resources of New York City.
I think when you look at it at a certain point when it's such a percentage of people, and it's not a huge percentage, but it is certainly a number to be able to see them in such frequency as, you know, you do in a city like this,
mm-hmm.
that is indicative of societal problems, and at that point, that's a government issue. I think that's 100% true. And since we're talking about fun, crazy shit on the subway, I like that that's gone this way. To keep it more light, one of the weirder things I've ever seen on the subway was one time I'm there and this guy gets on, right? And he waits for the doors to close and he puts down one of those fucking out portable boom boxes and he goes, your entertainment has arrived. And he rips off his fucking shirt and he proceeds to pole dance on all of the poles that are around. And if you've seen some of the subways, they've got like the handlebars up top and there's one going down the middle. And then there's like a pole on either side. And he's going at all of them, dancing very provocatively. And it's like, you've just like, he was looking for money, but it's like it didn't fucking matter for him. And that was the scariest part about it.
It's just my privilege to do this.
Dude, and this guy just went out, and I just sat there, I was like, I'm just going to keep watching the thing I downloaded on Netflix with my headphones in.
But coincidentally, it's also a gentleman stripping on the subway.
But I can hear it, and like, he's doing it, and the door's open. And he keeps doing it, and the doors close with new people on it, and he says the same thing again, your entertainment has arrived, and he keeps fucking going. And the weird thing is that's happened more than once where, like, people who do, like, acrobatics shows with the poles do that, and they, like, sit there. And the problem for me, man, is I'm like, look, you guys, everyone's been very good at it. But it's just the one day they slip off, and one of them kicks me right in the fucking face.
I'm thinking like a little kid.
Dude, I'm not even joking, though. It's like, yeah, it's like they're so fucking close to you sometimes.
They're close. And
when they sit there and do a backflip, and their foot like flips out, and it's like literally half an inch there. And sometimes like I'm leaning forward, sitting there watching Netflix. I'm like, hey, man, maybe you're dealing with mostly people who are between the height of 5 foot and 6 foot. And here I am, 6'3". And, like, maybe I'm leaning out too far and just hit me one time. And I got a feeling that if you're panhandling on the subway, you can't really deal with my hospital bill when you break my fucking nose and smash it up into just partially into my brain and I'm not quite the same anymore.
Okay, now
maybe that's extreme. But when you crack me in the chin and knock me out and they bring me to the hospital, you know what I mean? The MTA's policy is if you get knocked the fuck out on that train, they're going to put you in an ambulance. And you know what that is? That's on you, motherfucker.
That's $1,000.
Yeah, congratulations.
Right,
we brought you in an ambulance. Here's the bill. And it's not like they're going to be like, hey, wait, can I bill guy on subway who kicked me in the face and probably ran away instantly?
Whose only assets are a bucket of Slim Jims that he gives away for free?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not going to fucking happen. But so that's a fun, weird thing that happens on the subway sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
From crazy dude who really is probably just getting off at doing I'm Too Sexy on the Train
to the people who think they're acrobats. And instead of doing it in Central Park, they do it on the train.
I like the guy that came on to do his own stuff, his own freestyle rap. He set a beat and he gave this really inspirational pump up. He's like, I'm a young artist, but yeah, I'm trying to make it on my own. No labels, no management. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get to the top. This is my mission. This is my struggle.
Is he terrible?
And then just like, boom, boom, it starts. And he's like, motherfucker's got up. And he starts doing his thing. He gets two lines in. Fuck! And he gets pissed off. He shuts off the boombox and he walks to the other car.
Thank you for your time.
He was so hyped, and I'm like, dude, I want to give him money for doing that. That was fantastic.
He's going to walk back. Listen, if you're trying to be Andy Kaufman, you nailed it.
You're a shitty rapper, but you're an amazing comedian.
Yeah, you are. He's like, man, fuck you. Because I want to take that and start doing it.
Your dreams are hilarious. Because I'm telling you, dude, it almost did look like a joke. The wind-up was just like, we all here because of God. We're all here because of this. First of all, I know from the voice I'm doing, but it was a white dude. It was a white kid who was talking like this in Brooklyn, which is primarily black. And
then he fucks it up.
He just gets up. Yeah, he does the whole, I just want to say we're all only here because of God. We're all here to serve him and his message. And I am Elijah P. Wonder Bread, whatever the fuck his name was. And I'm here to transform social justice through my beats. And then he gets two lines in and he trips and falls on his own dick.
Oh, what a poor bastard. It's like every now and then, dude, somebody will come on the train and they'll just start singing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like every now and then it's like, a 17-year-old kid who's like just trying to do it probably after school, like on his way home, maybe, you know, like this will help me. And like someone gave him this advice to do it, and it's just not good.
Sing to strangers.
And you're just like, the thing that like always bothers you about it is like, hey, man, the secret is that nobody wants you to do anything to them when you're trapped in a metal tube with them. Period.
You want people to like you?
Anyone who gives you money is probably a dude like at the end of the car away from you and was like, oh, I got a good show from far away from you where it was just, you know, I'll give you this to go away. I'd give it to anyone, you know. But for the most part, it's just like, Jesus Christ, when's this going to end? For like at least like a week, this one guy came on and played the clarinet and he played the same thing.
I hope he was good.
He was fine, but it's the fucking clarinet. He played Dave Brubeck. And, like, I only know that because I used to fucking play this fucking music.
It meant nothing but the passion with which you said it and let me know it was a big deal.
It, for me, bugs the shit out of me because I didn't, like, I used to play this music with Charles Gaskew.
Chisel, whistle, gizzle.
Back in fucking band and, like, stuff. It was, like, Take Five, I think. We played it in jazz band. And it was like...
Yeah.
And it was that shit. You know, and I was like, I wanted to one day just be like, God damn you, Dave Brubeck, and like walk out on him just so he knows. Like, I'm like, you've seen me a bunch of times and I've never given you money. And like, it was enough. I'd seen him enough times where like one of the days he must have scanned me like, is that the same guy I always see? Because I'm always listening to music or watching something. So it's like, I'm watching this, someone's like, there's a bomb. There's a bomb. We got to go, man. We got to. I'm sitting there going, what? I can't hear this anymore. Even with, because like, I'm not wearing fucking headphones anywhere out there. I'm not wearing noise canceling shit. I'm wearing like earbuds. So you get, like, I'll get if someone else is playing music through their earphones too loud. So I'm even mindful of that. I'm like, I hope no one can hear the stuff that I'm listening to, you know, like. Maybe they don't want to hear some trashy Netflix show that I'm watching, you know? And then I just hear some asshole play the clarinet for everybody. Yeah.
I was one of those people, but one time.
Look, here's the thing. I don't care if you play on the platform. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Because if it's really that insufferable, I can walk the fuck away. I really can, you know? Manhattan's small enough where, like, with me and my simple town folk fucking walking around, like, I can walk to the next stop. I really can. It's really not that bad. I can take 10 minutes out of my day and walk to the next stop. But if you trap me in that fucking box with you, I hate you. I hate you.
The only time I didn't hate it was when the entire mariachi band came on in full garb and we're just like, and just did the whole thing. It was fucking absolutely delightful. Not even ironically, it was delightful.
I've had things happen that I was like, okay, I kind of enjoyed that, you know? But 90% of the time, I'm doing my own thing, you know?
Well, one time I was on a train and a girl had a ukulele and she was playing In Just 7 Days, I Can Make You a Man from Rocky Horror. And I'm like, who fucking does that? So I started singing along. I sat next to her and started singing along with it. And we just like grooved. Because in my head, I'm like, romantic comedies start this way.
And then she goes, thanks. Hey, look, by the way, here's my ring. You're like, okay, shit.
She's like, yeah, romantic comedy started this way, but so did the Me Too movement. So get lost, mouth breather. And she kicked me in the nuts and called me a man spreader. And that's how it ended.
It's by the people who wrote Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
No, that's Jason Segel.
Jason
He's not working
Segel
anymore.
As Alex Koch. What happened to him?
I don't understand.
Mila Kunis just whack. Just right in the nards.
Oh, man.
For some reason, he's naked.
I don't know why I'm naked on the subway. I don't know why that's my Jason Segel impression.
Because I put you on the spot. It doesn't work well.
Oh, I'm Jason Segel.
You make him sound so forlorn.
Oh, jeez. I don't understand.
It's worth millions of dollars. We make him sound pathetic.
Buh.
Guy's going to die of lung cancer. He really likes those cigarettes. But wait, why is he not working anymore? You think he just made that "How I Met Your Mother" fuck you money and just...
I have no fucking idea.
He's just fucked off.
He's a talented dude, but I think he probably was like, well, there's no more market for Jason Segel.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, you did Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and then you fell into the trap that all these other guys fall into where they do the same shit, and eventually you make Holmes and Watson.
Oh, God.
What a fucking...
Yeah, but what miss did he have? Because he did... I mean, don't get me wrong. How I Met Your Mother can go F itself.
He did forgettable shit like Gulliver, the Gulliver remake with Jack
Black.
Did
he do that?
He was one of the okay. 11 little Lilliputians.
So did he, like, he went towards children's movies, which is honestly, in Hollywood, if you're not someone absolutely fucking huge.
He just did too many rom-coms and dumb comedies, and he flooded the market with, like, Jason Segel in Bad Teacher, in the five-year engagement.
Oh, right.
In all this, he just always the same thing. So then he tried to branch out, and he did this Netflix movie.
A befuddled nice guy about...
Yeah, and then he did a Netflix movie where he was this, like, depressed dude whose dad figured out there's life after death, so suddenly people are, like, killing themselves to find a they're like, it's got to be better than this, and they all start killing themselves en masse. Sounds like a really cool idea. It was a very bad movie.
I feel like I almost watched that, and then I talked to you about it, and you're like, don't fucking bother.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, and it's too bad, because he was good for the role if the writing had been better, and the idea was awesome if someone better had made it, and not for Netflix, because Netflix doesn't care. They'll put in enough people and enough effort to make it prestigious, maybe.
Well, I feel like they're just the money source is the problem with Netflix. They're a money source and a platform, and if you're successful, they'll give you more money and more platform. But other than that, they have absolutely no... I mean, I think at a certain point, they're going to start... I'm scared by it, because at a certain point, they're going to homogenize. They really are. And once they do that, they're going to go towards the same sources and the same trusted blah. And
they're already doing that.
Yeah. And that's the problem, because, I mean, I miss when we... like. I feel like we're not going to, at a certain point, see weird shit. And the problem is because the people that they're entrusting are fucking up.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What was the last, and you can define innovative any way you like, but what was the last truly innovative show you watched that, like, shook your shit up?
That shook me. Like, that really fucked me up. I don't even know, man, honestly.
Like, it just had a hold of you.
Well, Breaking Bad, maybe. Uh-huh. You know, I'd say as much as it makes you sound like a misogynist, there were some episodes of early Rick and Morty that really, like, blew me away in terms of their, like, this is the universe. If it exists in this way, you are meaningless kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. That was kind of fun for, you know, a cynic.
I don't think that makes you a misogynist, because I might have to agree, because it came after Breaking Bad in the chronology.
And in that sense, Community was fantastic too, but not like there's nothing, you know, there's no criticisms there, I don't think, other than that, you know, that had a really weird... like path as a show, but that's a whole other thing. I mean, recently, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know what show?
I mean,
really
the last one. It could have been 5 years ago. Was the last time you were moved
I would say
by TV?
As much as I hate Jeff Bezos, he did a good job with hiring whoever did. I think it was the Good Guys or the other guys.
The Boys.
That's what
it Boys.
Is. Yeah. The Boys. I thought, like, The Good Guys is like an HBO show, or The Other Guys, or something like that. But yeah, The Boys is a
is a fantastic show. They did a really good job with that. I really liked
but
that.
But did you watch it and did you go Game Changer?
I would say that no, it's not a game changer. And the reason it's not a game changer is because it's piggybacking off of the Marvel Universe and the notoriety of that. And in the sense that, you know, they knew that they were going to have something that people were going to watch because people will, they were going to see, you know, the glitzy superhero brand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if it's got a high production value and you can really sell it well, which they did, people will stick around and watch it.
And it's archetypes. There's a Wonder Woman. There's a Batman. There's a Superman.
Yep. And so they threw all that in there, and they just showed how those people are flawed, and that's fine. And people wanted to see that, though.
And it is really good. I'm not shitting on the boys.
Yeah, well, see, that's the fact of the matter is that the writing was good, and that's why I liked it. I thought it did a good job. It was a nice, coherent season. The only thing that, for me, I'm a little hesitant with these days is investing my time in a show that I don't think has a coherent beginning, middle, and end. And I don't think that they do. You know what I mean? Yeah. They might. But, like, you look at, you know... I'm interested to see where, like, the Umbrella Academy, that was a good show.
That was a good show.
I'm interested to see where that goes, and that's based on the what was it, singer from My Chemical Romance?
Yeah, Gerard Way or whatever his name is.
He did that whole thing, but does that have a whole beginning, middle, and end to it? I assume it does.
Honestly, I don't even think they're following the comics. No, but, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but so the first season of that left me very hopeful that it's going to go somewhere meaningful, you know, because we've been burned lately. I mean, we're anti-Game of Thrones, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak for you, but I think you're fairly anti-Game of Thrones. I'm fairly anti the end of the Star Wars saga, which is, you know, spoilies. I don't want to go much past that. I would say that I'm unhappy. I'm disappointed.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, and I don't want to, if Mitch is out there watching, you know, or anyone who's hasn't watched the last Star Wars movie, maybe don't, you know what, screw it. We won't say anything.
Go see a Star War.
Go finish up. We're going to talk about that at some point in the future. Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker, but I guess we'll wait off because it's still kind of fresh, and it's such a,
it came out at the tippy top of the holiday season. So,
well, and it's still, you know, super, it's the final, you know, thing in a nine, it's the ninth movie, you know, in this whole saga.
Right. So it matters to some people.
Yeah. So we'll give it a little bit more time.
And me just personally, I know what a vagina feels like. So, I got that going for me.
Which is nice.
So I don't care about Star Wars.
Yeah. But anyways.
Just kidding.
But yeah, so I don't know. Those are the things that have, you know, there's been things that have blown my lid off. Would been, you know, those not Star Wars. What about you?
That's the thing, man. I've seen shit that I liked that was interesting. That was
but nothing
good.
That really changed the game.
But the last, like, game changer, honestly, that I saw, and it's interesting that you felt like you had to preface it with, I don't want to sound like a misogynist, because that's such a ridiculous statement.
They
in reference
bad fans.
To Rick and Morty.
Bad fans, man. Bad
a
fans.
A bunch of douchebags ruined it for everybody else because a bunch of douchebags acted up. Reactionaries on the other side who don't get it fucking took it and ran with it. And now if you like Rick and Morty, you're alt-right, which I think is fucking
crazy.
Well,
here's the problem is that they've fucked with the trajectory of the show as well in a certain sense.
Because they don't want to be seen that way.
Again, spoilers, I don't know how you feel about this season of Rick and Morty, but I'm personally underwhelmed.
I think it sucks.
Yeah. I think that it's you know, and we've read about what Dan Harmon's doing, and I think he's easing towards retirement, I think. And not necessarily, not okay, I need to rephrase, not retirement, but towards making Rick and Morty the thing that he super fucking cares about. It's his only thing, and then once that's done, he's done.
I don't even know if it's a he's done thing. I think he was looking,
maybe.
He described it more as he and Justin Roiland were looking to lock it up for the next, like, several years of their life. They want to have job security.
He's walking away from his production company too, isn't he?
His podcast. I don't know about his production company, but his podcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he's
walking. I'm pretty sure he's walking away from his production company.
But I feel like it's so tied into Rick and Morty. Starburns.
Yeah, Starburns. I'm pretty sure he's walking away in terms of like leadership of the company.
Well, maybe the leadership, but he's not shutting it down. Because
no, he's
sure
not.
It's
no. He can't shut it down.
Okay, yeah.
It's out of his hands. Though. I think he's walking away from having that role in the company.
Makes sense. Yeah, to focus on Rick and Morty, but also. And I understand, if you don't know Dan Harmon, I've gone back and listened to his podcast from 2014 where he had just been fired from Community and he was
an asshole,
super fucking depressed and an asshole.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want that guy to kill himself, because I remember saying to Rory before being like, I think this only ends one way, and it ends with Dan Harmon eventually killing himself.
Well, it's definitely possible.
And I think he's gotten to a better place, and he's worked on himself as a person, and part of the work that he's tried to do is to get rid of his workaholism, but not his alcoholism, and some of his perfectionism.
Well, see,
which is why they fucked with the formula.
Yes.
Mike Love said, don't fuck with the formula, and Dan Harmon did.
Well, I think the problem is that he's stopped sitting in a room going, because he's been fired by, I mean, Sarah Silverman, what did she say? She said he's like the most intelligent person that she has ever had to fire, because he had a very specific idea of what her show was supposed to be.
Her show.
And it was her show, yeah. And so, like, that's the problem I have, though, is he finally has his own show, and he's evolved to the point where he's been effectively, you know, softened as a person. And I mean, which isn't necessarily a bad situation, except honestly, I think professionally, I think it's a bad thing, because he was a perfectionist in the sense that he knew exactly what this episode was supposed to be about. He knew exactly what was going to be good, and he knew exactly what his audience wanted. Whether they were the good people, the bad people, the one thing that me and the assholes can fucking agree on is that Rick and Morty had some entertaining plot lines.
What is an episode of Rick and Morty?
Yeah, whether you felt you underrepresented or you felt underwhelmed by the diversity of the cast or whatever, you know, as sad as that was and as legitimate as a response as that is, that's something that can be worked on without affecting the framing of the story and the way that he goes about creating that story. And that is what's effective. And he's going into a position now where he is going to be death by committee, which I think is where art dies, is when you get a panel of writers who are all sitting there going, yeah, but I feel like the issue here with this joke is, you know, instead of sitting there being like, we've got some, you know, where Dan Harmon sat there and went, I know what works and I know what's effective. I feel like now he's sitting there going, okay, I can go ahead and let that go. And that's not what that fucking show was. It was good because it was so painfully worked over.
It was his fetish for structure with Justin Roiland's batshit ideas made it work.
Yeah.
And they were allowed to talk about things that you wouldn't expect to come up in a dopey sci-fi cartoon that was so much more than that. But these issues of Rick's misogyny, Rick's misanthropy, all of his many fucking issues that you want to be able to explore him as a character,
his nihilism,
so that you're invested in him when he goes through a hard time like he does in the assimilation episode.
And when you sit there and realize that deep down somewhere in there, there is caring. You know what I mean? There is, but it's
or,
not.
Or is there? I love that they used to tease that, like, he might come through, but he might just be a giant piece of shit.
Yeah.
And that they constantly danced on that line, and now they feel like the criticisms of Rick are, he's awful, he's all these terrible, like, somehow he's racist, homophobic, misogynist, all these other things that I frankly don't think are in the cartoon, but whatever. And they've distilled him down to, like, this thing that needs fixing. And so rather than examining those criticisms and those issues in the show the way the show does it, they're just, like, kind of pandering, and they're
pandering now because they've got an audience.
Safe topics like the dragon episode.
The dragon episode
would have
pretty
kicked
bad.
His own ass for that. I listened to a clip on YouTube from Harmontown
where
he was talking about someone pitching him an idea, like, what if this guy suddenly stops wearing his favorite coat and he's got a whole new outfit for the episode? And Dan Harmon said, that would make me want to kill myself.
Well, and here's the thing too, is like, it's not that there's, like, not a funny concept in that episode too. Like, if you haven't watched the episodes, like, fucking deal with it. You need to step away for a couple seconds here, I guess. But, like, the fact that all dragons are perverts and, like, that whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And they're all just trying to fuck everybody and everything, and that's the deal.
Just one joke stretched way too far.
Yeah, it was just like, look, here's the thing. It's like, you can do funny shit, but, like, what the fuck was that episode? What was it? And there was okay episodes. You know, honestly, I think their best episode was the Death Crystal episode. And even that had some things that were, you know, left to be desired, I guess.
But the fact is, Dan Harmon has admitted that it's a looser, more chaotic storytelling structure this time around, which means he's kind of letting the other writers contribute, which is great. But at the end of the day, with Community, he would write a script, or other people would write a script, and he would punch it up. He would essentially look at it and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, his fingerprints were all over that.
Yeah. And I feel like now that we're in the thing where that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. I feel like that's going to make the show suffer. And it bums me out because there's some storylines, there's some threads in there that you really want to see followed, and you wonder if they are now.
Because, like I said, it was, for me, a game-changer animation because it was a visually inventive, psychologically interesting cartoon that had some depth so that you like care about the characters and not in some weird like I wear my Rick and Morty sweatpants and I wish I were Rick and I could go on adventures with him and be I wish I was in the show. It's not that kind of thing, but you're invested in like, oh wow, Rick goes to prison, I can't wait to see how he gets out of this one.
Well, the thing I appreciate about it is they've built a structure around believability of you can have characters die and come back in their universe. You know what I mean? And they've explained it well.
And they were creative about it.
Versus like a situation like, say, when Family Guy did that shit where they killed off Brian.
What happened there?
Yeah, and then they came back with like time travel or something. Or they went back and saved him. Like, why didn't they do that before? Because they'd initiated time travel for quite a while.
Is that what they did in Family Guy?
I'm pretty sure they just went back and saved him. I think that's what Stewie did. She's like, oh, I've got to have him back or some shit. I can't remember, but it was like they just brought him back. The point is they made a show that you thought maybe might have an arc to it and didn't. It's just episode to episode to episode to episode. And every now and then they're like, oh, guess what? We're going to have things that have real consequences because that's what we want to fucking do. And they just, like, it's never really does, though, you know?
They've retconned a million fucking things. Like,
yeah, they'll do whatever the fuck
Joe's
they want.
Joe's son was, like, dead, but he was AWOL, but he's dead. I don't fucking
know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They made him actually alive or whatever. And, like, don't get me wrong, they keep some things like Quagmire's dad's a woman now, and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, what do you guys?
They always do these weird ham-fisted episodes where it's like
it's a little too preachy.
Brian hooks up with Glenn Quagmire's trans mother.
Well, the problem is they lack nuance. I think they lack inventive ways to do it. You know, it's just right fucking there. And that's the thing that you appreciate Rick and Morty for is he's like, you're sitting there going, well, it's not necessarily highbrow, you know, he burps all the fucking time.
But that doesn't make it lowbrow.
No, exactly.
It technically is a lowbrow show
and
by
nature.
And not
to say that there's not clever jokes on Family Guy, but it's just like, at a certain point, like, you've run your fucking arc. How many seasons are there of Family Guy now?
Who fucking knows? Who cares?
I'd even say the same thing about The Simpsons. You know, it's at a certain point, you've done all you can do.
To quote Kylo Ren, sometimes you have to let the old things die.
Yeah, that's great.
Burn it all.
I think we're doing pretty good on time here.
Your parents were filthy junk traders who were sold you away for money.
Sold you for scrap, for drinking money.
You were nobody.
You're an author.
But I love you. Do you want to come see my room?
Do you want to see me with my shirt off?
These grandpa pants. I have a sick blacklight poster in my room of Rush. Oh, Exit the Warrior. Rest in peace.
Yeah, we got to say something about that, actually. Neil Peart, rest in peace. Sadly, it came at the end of the episode. I can't believe we didn't think of it.
I know. She should have led with it. But Tanner apparently delivered a tribute.
Has died.
He was playing a show on the drums, so he got to lead a toast at Nectar's.
Yep.
In memory. And Mitch probably sat there with his fucking fat thumb up his ass.
Calling you out,
jacking his little weenus, heart clamping down on those calloused nipples.
I inhaled all my spit. I can't even. It came out of nowhere. Bam.
Mitch is a piece of shit.
Just fucking shooting on Mitch.
Zipped him.
Oh,
I need these fucking guys. The thing is, I don't know
Jesus
why we're going
Christ.
After Mitch because Tanner's got all the equipment and the expertise. So technically, we got to convince him to set it up and wrangle
Mitch.
Mitch
is the muscle. That's why he gets in there. Nope, we're doing it.
It's true. If Mitch gets it in his head, he'll just hold Tanner
cracks
hostage.
All of Tanner's toes and goes, it's time to do a podcast. Mitch, make sure to crack Tanner's toes before you do the podcast.
Crack him good, buddy.
Crack him good. That's it. I'm calling you out. Put it on your list. You better have a list, too. Calling you out. Have a list.
Yeah, we need some sort of response from you guys. It doesn't have to be long. I know ours is kind of on the long side.
This is a long one, I think. I fucked up the tracking on this, and we have no idea.
We
how long
probably
want
to wrap this up.
Probably do. It's probably a long one. This was probably like,
and we promised
at
like
at least 20 minutes,
fun and hilarity when we came back, and it turned into like, well, you see, Mayor Dinkins, of course, his policy.
The fun thing about being on the train is you watch people pee up themselves.
They do like, I saw this one feller, he tucked his erection into his waistband and urinated, and it bloomed on the front of his shirt.
Actually, I saw that once. I'm not joking.
On the train or just in life?
No, on the train. I saw a guy pee up himself and his pee bloomed in his shirt. And he was lying with his arm out, his sweatshirt. So you watched it run down his sweatshirt and then eventually it trickled down his finger and onto the subway floor. And you just heard it pool. Eventually he wakes up. Now, he's made this whole side of the fucking train car soaking wet. But when homeless people sleep on the train, and it's clearly drugs, everybody does not sleep in that section of the car. Or, I mean, nobody is in that section of the car. So he wakes up and stands up, and there's just pee stain all up and down him, all up his arm. And he looks over around for a second, and then he walks over to the other side of the car and falls asleep again.
Oh, man.
Heroin.
Jesus, you hate to see it.
I mean, but damn, it was crazy. Just let go, man. I'm not telling you. It's like that movie where they're trying to kill their bosses.
Horrible bosses.
Horrible bosses. Like that scene with the bridge. I have stored an inordinately large amount of piss. And this man, he peed a lot.
Wow.
Man, I'm telling you, it was... There's no over-exaggerating the amount of piss that came out of this guy. You really got to think about it. To be on a train, to fall asleep on that train, to forget about being on that train, and then to let yourself pee. And this is a grown-ass man.
Yeah. And again, it's that classic New York game of we don't know what's going on here.
No.
This could
Other than drugs.
Sometimes there's a strong indication.
Well, dude, I'm telling you the fact that they woke up, stood up, and then fell asleep on the other side because it was drier. Something else, man.
Now at that point, social contract does kick in. You I did pee on this.
They
bench.
Wake up. They looked up. There's just I gotta imagine the perspective of looking down the train. There's a bunch of people huddled on the other end, like we're fucking. I don't even know. Like we're all just like experiencing trauma together. And we're all just like looking at them, like he's holding the car hostage, and he just looks down, and we're all just sitting there staring back at him. And then he just is like, whatever, and just falls the fuck asleep again like nothing fucking happened.
It would honestly be amazing if he took out a little notebook and a little pencil and he just jotted something down. He was like, I think this one needs more tests. And then he just lied back down.
He just looks down. He counts everyone. 24. Just falls asleep again.
Talks into an invisible tape recorder. The research continues. Then you guys are the jerks.
Yes.
Well, this is an official call for the city of New York to fucking do something about this.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Like, help these people.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but you kind of need to help these people.
Ooh-wee, we're trying, but do you know how much apartments cost?
Ooh, Bill de Blasio.
Anyways, so that's been the return to the Skimbo Lounge. I'm sure nobody made it this far.
Probably not. If you did, why don't you go ahead to our Twitter, at Skimbo Lounge, and... the password is going to be artichoke.
Yeah, say something about Mitch.
Hashtag artichoke and attack Mitch.
Yeah. Say something mean about Mitch so he gets riled up. Maybe he'll read him on the next pod. No one's going to say anything. You're all cowards!
If you see Mitch, fuck him up. Let him know he's on our shit list.
Punch him in the belly.
So until next time.
I heard Mitch likes it.
What's your name?
No, this is Rory.
And I'm Alex, saying goodnight. Fuck you. Goodbye.